In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come and see. Those words were among the few in the gospel that really made me become a Christian. Come and see. Mysterious words, promising words, very exciting words. This is what Philip said to Nathanael when he had said that they'd found the Christ, and Nathanael said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip says, "Come and see." And I probably said this to you and said this individually to people 1,000 times, if not 10,000. To me, it's one of the most important commands in the scripture. Come and see. Don't believe what your eyes tell you, what your intellect tells you, what your ego tells you, what the world tells you. You come and see for yourself what it's like to be spiritual, what it's like to have Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit within you, what it's like to not be like the world. But we can modify this a little bit with the rest of the reading and also from Hebrews that we read today. It is said of Nathanael by Christ that he had no guile. He's an honest man. Now, honesty is not just that you don't tell lies to people. Honesty is that you don't tell lies to yourself also. A man who has no hidden agendas, who only follows God, without any ulterior motives. That's a guileless man. And he said of Nathanael, "Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile." I think there's no mistake. It's not just happenstance that that was said and written down. A lot of things were said that were not written down in the gospel, but this was. And the promise given to Nathanael was that you shall see greater things than these. Because he was really amazed that Christ could know about him under a fig tree when he wasn't visible to him. And the Lord said, "Thou shalt see greater things than these." Now, come and see, and thou shalt see greater things than these. What are these greater things? What is it that we should come and see? I've been spending my life figuring it out. And I've been trying as a pastor to get you to spend your life figuring out. What is it that there are these greater things? How do we experience them? And to have the zeal to continue to come and see. But let's further add to this phrase, this command. So let's first say, without guile, come and see. And let's look at Hebrews and add a little bit more. Because at the end of this reading of St. Paul's, he says, "Let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Of course, he is talking about faith, and that those who were faithful, especially in the beginning, he speaks of Moses, would not enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That's really part of patience, to be able to delay your gratification on things that don't satisfy. We just heard about someone who had many things that did not satisfy and was starving with hunger just a few weeks ago with the prodigal son. He did not delay his gratification, and he found that he was starving, even though he was partaking of terrible food. So let's change this command a little bit more and say, without guile and with patience, come and see, and thou shalt see greater things than these. This is exciting news, brothers and sisters, because we can be changed. We can see things that are greater than we can even imagine if we come and see. Now, this command, come and see, what are you going to see? You have to decide what you're going to go see. There's a lot of things to see in this world. It's a big old world. A lot of stuff. But very little has anything to do with eternal life. So what are you going to come and see? I've spent my Christian life trying to reshape what I'm looking for. Because I think, I know, because of my own humanity and understanding the troubles, the desires of many, many other people, that we have to continually be reshaping what it is that we are coming to see. We have to be continually reforming our minds, being renewed, as the scripture says. Because the world has one message. It's always about death. Now, it comes in many, many forms, but it's always about death. And God has one message, too. And it comes in many forms, but it's always about life. So we must search out for those things that are about life. Those are the things we must come and see. Because if you want to go and see death, you can see it any day of the week. You can actually just look inside yourself and see death, the sin that is within you, and the desires that are within you, and all the rest. So how do you change what you want to come and see? I'll be honest with you. With some of my flock, people I've met, they don't know what to go to see. They're just living their life, trying to be a good person, whatever that is, and trying to kind of say, you know, I'm going to leave the world a better place than when I leave it than when I was born, and kinds of things like that, but not having any idea what they were really born for. You were born to see great things. You were born to see the greatest things, things that you can't even imagine. We can talk about them. We have no idea how great they are, how great it is to be completely united to God without any sickness or sorrow or sighing, but life everlasting. We have no idea. But it's promised to us that we will see these great things. I think really Great Lent is this time when you especially focus on trying to reshape what you want to go see. Trying to reshape what you're looking for, what your values are. Now, sometimes we kind of think of Great Lent in terms of certain accomplishments. We're fasting in a certain way. We go to certain services. Maybe we read through the gospel, or we read all of the daily readings, or something of that nature, sort of like metrics. But Christianity is not about metrics. Christianity is about reforming the mind, renewing the mind, so that you only want what is good and you reject what is bad automatically. And here we have the blueprint for how to do it. It's all over the scriptures, but today we're saying that this blueprint is without guile and with patience, come and see. Now, that's a tall order for most of us. For some of us, the guile is a hard part, to not be have guile, to be completely honest with ourselves and others, to not have any hidden agendas, to not be manipulative, and all the rest that comes with being guileful. For some of us, patience is the hard part. And for those of us who've won the lottery, both of them. We're not completely honest with ourselves or others, nor are we patient. So life is really this exercise in learning patience and learning honesty. Of course, honesty is to be like God, because God does not lie. Honesty is to see things as they really are and to live according to the way things really are, according to God. And, of course, this is a hard thing to do, so it takes patience. We're celebrating today the triumph of orthodoxy. Now, we talk about, in the service, a lot about the restoration of icons, and you can find stuff in the Menologian about the story of this, the restoration of icons after a long period of iconoclasm, which, by the way, was because of Islam. I don't know if you know that. The influence of Islam on the borders of the empire caused people to become iconoclastic, since Islam is extremely iconoclastic. And Islam has been spouting its heresies from that time forward until now. We can read about it, and we can make a procession with the icons. I won't put you through that today because of, you know, it's so muddy and icy. And that's a good thing to do. But I'm not real impressed by the restoration of icons. That's not, for me, what the triumph of orthodoxy is. Because the icons, even after they celebrated the restoration, there were pockets of places where there was persecution. And even to this day, there's places where you can't really have icons showing. Try to show an icon in Saudi Arabia and see what happens. In communist Russia, for years, icons had to be hidden. So things wax and wane. We have victories and then we have defeats. One people has preeminence and another people has preeminence later. That's just part of the flow of human history. The real triumph of orthodoxy is when God completely lives within our heart. That's what icons promise, by the way. Did you know that? That's the triumph. That's the promise of icons. We show Jesus Christ on an icon because he became man. And the influence of him being man is that we can become like him. So God completely abiding in the human heart is because God became man. It wasn't possible before then. So if you look at an icon, you should feel the triumph of orthodoxy, the true triumph. Not that we can display icons anywhere we want, we can march around with them around the church or anywhere else we want. That's just historical stuff. The triumph is that we can become like God without anger, without lust, without sadness, with love, with perfection, with purity. That's possible because God became man. And since God became man, just like any one of us, he can be painted. Jesus Christ can be painted. Or put in mosaics or whatever else. And the actual message of the icon is, you can become perfected. Because that image of our Lord is of the resurrected Lord who defeated death and sin so that we could. That's what we're coming to see. Progressively in our life, to have more life in us and get rid of the death. That's what we're coming to see. And that's exciting. May God help you to come and see. May God help you to get rid of your guile. Be honest. May God help you to be patient. I have a little warning for you about being patient. The only way to be patient is to have stuff that makes you impatient. It's the only way. That's the same way with humility, by the way. Since we're proud and stupid, the only way to become humble is to be humiliated. Now, eventually we should learn the lesson, and we won't be so humiliated in this world, but we will just have a humble spirit. That's a whole lot easier way to go. And eventually, we won't always have things that are making us impatient because we'll have learned to be patient about those small things. Everything's small. because God is big. Everything else is small. So whatever it is that makes us impatient, it's small. So God help us to be patient without guile and to come and see the great things that he has in store for us. Amen.